الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله هيا للسلام هيا للسلام
محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آتي محمد الفضيلة والوسيلة وبعث مقام محمود لنا وحده فإن الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. You know, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, you should seek refuge in Allah by saying, أعوذ بشر نفسي أعوذ بالله من شر نفسي ومن سيئات Amen. He says, I seek refuge in Allah from the evil of myself and from the evil outcome of my deeds. That's important. That's why we say, Na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves. The evil that exists within the self, because the self, people have evil. They have bad traits, sometimes bad thoughts that's in the soul, and they're expressed in deeds. Women say, Ati a'malina, and from the evil outcome of our deeds. Because you can have bad traits in your heart, and people do. Allah says in the nafs la'ammarat bisu, that the soul is a storehouse of evil except on whom Allah has mercy. So you do things because your heart has disease. The heart has disease. And you do this, you do that, you do that. Now you make tawbah. And you're back to alhamdulillah. But the effects of your actions is still out there. So this is what happens when people stop doing something, you change your ways, but you're wondering why things are still messed up. A lot of times it's because the effects of your behavior are still out there. Because the effects of behavior has long-term consequences many times, sometimes even generational consequences. What I mean by generational consequences means that something that you do affects not only you, but it affects your children, it affects your children's children, and it affects your children's children's children because of your decision that you made today. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to seek refuge in Allah from all that. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله الله بالهدى والدين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون وقال سيدنا مصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم ان اصدق حديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فيقول الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا يحل لكم أن ترثوا النساء قرحا ولا تعدلوهن لتذهبوا ببعد ما اتيتموهن الا ان ياتين بفاحشه مبينه وعاشروهن بالمعروف فان كرهتموهن فعسى ان تكرهوا شيئا ويجعل الله فيه خيرا كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. Brothers, we ask Allah for guidance and for mercy and for help. And we ask Allah to change the condition that exists in our hearts to a better condition. Everybody wants to be in a better condition. The Muslim want to be in a better condition. Don't think that you can't be improved upon. I should not think that I can't be improved upon. But if you want change, you have to change one with it. You know, as an imam, and as Muslims, you know, we deal with a lot of social problems, social issues, issues of the family, issues of the children, issues between spouses, and so on. That's one of the more difficult sets of issues to deal with because it has so much impact, you know, especially, you know, the status of the family, particularly with the African American community, not just the African American, but particularly the status of the family is at an all-time low, being dead last in every socioeconomic category that measures well-being. Marriage rates, divorce rates, children born out of wedlock. You notice that only 3 out of 10 children born in African-American households are born into marriage. Do you know the impact of having children out of wedlock? It's a very high impact. You know the impact when a child, you know, his father is incarcerated 20, 30, 40 years? You know the impact that has? See, that has a generational impact. And that starts from somebody's decision. The most blessed, beloved institution There was a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to human beings, was the institution of marriage. It was such a blessed institution that He gave it to the first human beings. He gave them marriage. In fact, when He created Hawa or Eve, He created Adam, وَخَلَّقْ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and created from his soul his spouse, Hawa, or Eve. When He created Eve, she was already His wife. That's how deep it is. He didn't create and say, okay, you know what? What y'all want to do? Y'all want to get married? No. When He created her, she was already His wife. And He instructed them to live in a certain way. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about marriage and treatment of a wife. And I'm a little upset. So it's not always good to give a khutbah when you're upset, but sometimes it is. You don't want to say the wrong thing. But you don't want to cut any corners either. Okay? I'm going to tell you right now. I don't like the way brothers treat their wives. I got problems with it. I got a problem with a brother beat his wife. I got a problem. Because I want to fight you. That's how I feel in my heart. Beat on your wife, I'm like, come on up in the match. Come on outside, come on to my house. Throw it up. Tough? I never liked that. I have a problem with brothers that cheat on their wives. If you need something else, you get you another wife. Be a man about it. I got a problem with brothers who bring home sexual diseases to your household. I got a problem with brothers that dog their wives. I have a problem with brothers who treat your wife harshly all the time. Talk to her like she a piece of dirt. I have a problem with all that. Because all this goes against our faith. It goes against righteousness. I have a problem with brothers who don't get married. I got a big problem with that. Shaq, like, what? Dude, what is that? What is that? That's my girl. What? What is that? Because there's no place in the Sharia for that. What, that's your hoe? You the trick? Because that's all it is, brothers. I'm telling you the truth. There's no space in our faith for having a girlfriend. I have a problem with brothers who are afraid of getting a job. I got a problem with that. Afraid of working. You got women, you got kids, you can't work. I got a problem with that. I be wanting to rumble. And I know that's probably not right. Maybe not. I don't know. I got to check. But I have a problem with men who refuse to be men. I have a problem with brothers who are babies. I have a problem with that. I have a problem. I have a problem. You can be a baby for a minute, okay, 19, 20, okay, you want to still be a crybaby, go ahead.
Yeah, because, you know, nobody loves,
okay, I'm here, all right, whatever, okay, you go ahead. How old are you? 21, 22, 20, all right, time to stop that. Our prophet was an orphan. He didn't have mother or father raising him. Amar ibn Yasir, the companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sat and watched while his mother and father were brutally murdered by the Quraysh because of their faith. And he sat and watched it. That's traumatizing, ain't it? And he could say, yeah, that was some trauma. So, yeah, Rasulullah, I can't do nothing you ask me because, yeah, okay? So I have a problem with that. Islam is supposed to make a man out of you and will make a woman out of you. Women, they're not our slaves. They're the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're our wives. They're given out of trust. They have obligations. We have obligations towards them. In the early time of Islam, people did treat their wives like property. They used to buy and sell them. In fact, if a man was married and he passed away, his family used to come and they would claim the wife as part of his inheritance. So they would say, okay, now he's there. Okay, so Uncle so-and-so, he gonna marry you now. You got married, we gonna put you with him. We gonna put you with cousin so-and-so or his brother. And she didn't have a choice. Or they can say, they work out a deal with other people. Okay, you know, my brother passed away. He left a wife. Let's work out something because I'm have it for you. Almost like slavery. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed one, and he revealed a lot of verses about women, but this is one of them. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la yuhillu lakum an tarithu nisa'a qarahan. He says, oh, you who believe, it's not forbidden for you to inherit women against their will. وَلَا تَعْدِلُهُنَّ لِتَذْهَبُوا بِبَعْدِ مَا أَتَيْتُمُهُنَّ. And don't stop them from, you know, in case where they leave your situation, don't stop them from taking what you've given them. إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَحِشَةٍ مَبَيِّنَةٍ. Except if they've done clear and open adultery. Even brothers divorce their wives, because you know in Islam it's like this. Brothers, let me tell you something right now. Either you're married or you're not married, okay? If you're married, that's where you live at. You live with your wife. Guess where you spend your money at home. Unless you're traveling someplace out of town, you on some sort of journey. You're not married and you're here, your wife is on the next block. You over your mama's house on the mama couch. Okay? No, we don't do that. You stay with your woman in Islam. If you make hijrah from her, the Prophet said, some forbid men from making hijrah from their wives except if they make hijrah in their own house. I mean, I'm going to leave the bed. I'm downstairs, baby. We having some issues. Where you going? I'm going downstairs. Now, I'm gone. I'm out. You don't do that. Be a man about it. Allah says, Ya ayyuha nabiy, idha talaqtumu nisa'a fatalliquhunna li'iddatihinna wa ahsul al-iddata wattaqullaha rabbakum. He says, oh, Prophet, speaking to the Ummah, when you divorce women, now we don't like divorce in Islam, we want to stay married. Divorce is the most hated permissible thing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When couples come into issues, man, anybody knows, man, I'm going to do everything I can to see that y'all stay married. I want you to stay together. I want the family to stay together because we would get divorced. All kind of stuff happens as a result of divorce. That generational stuff I tell you about, divorce is one of the causations. So Allah says, إِذَا تَلَقَتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَطَلِّقُوهُنَّ لِعِدَّتِهِنَّ وَأَحْسُ الْعِدَّةِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ. He says, oh, you prophet, if you divorce women, then divorce them to an iddah and count the iddah. The iddah is a waiting period. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ رَبَّكُمْ. And fear Allah your Lord. لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِن بِيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِينَ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مَبَيِّنَةٍ وَتَلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ وَمَن يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Allah says, don't kick them out of their houses. You married? You know we have the iddah, that's the 3-month period in order to work it out. You can't say, well, get out of my house. And she didn't say, get out of my house. Unless it's another type of divorce. He says, tilka hududullah. These are the boundaries of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever transgresses the boundaries of the boundaries of Allah, he's wronged himself. Now, brothers, we do a lot of wrong to these women. I ain't talking about just black people, or white people, or Pakistani, or Arabs. We have a legacy in Islam, or as Muslims, of dogging women. People like to dog the women. The way you talk to the women, the way you treat the women, You know, the Prophet sallallahu he said, khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best of you, the best one to his wife, and I'm the best of you to my wives. Some brothers don't like to teach the women of religion. You come to Juma every Friday, blah, 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 blah. You come to the masjid, Islam, your wife don't know nothing about Islam. A lot of y'all brothers are guilty of that. Don't teach your wife anything about the religion. So then you don't bring her to the masjid because you're embarrassed because your wife doesn't know anything about Islam, so you're afraid to bring her to the masjid. Or you dog your women, you beat on the women, mistreat the women, then you're afraid to bring them around because you don't want nobody to know how you're treating your wife. We have to have a personal discussion with ourselves about the issue of the women. Seriously. Because women are given as a trust. Many times they're the ones that care for their children. Because we have a lot of divorces, a lot of family problems all the time. Some stuff we keep under the rug. But if you have a wife, first of all, that's the only permissible, let me make this clear, the only permissible intimate relationship between a man and a woman in the religion of Islam is that of a husband and a wife. Okay? وَمَنْ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَيْكَ هُمَ الْعَادُونَ As Allah says, anybody who wants other than that, then they are transgressors. Let me make that clear. And then some of you go through changes with your girlfriend like it's your wife. Which is, yeah, man, my girl. I'm like, really? Really, you crying over your girlfriend? That's just a, you can't use that kind of language in the khutbah. What I call that type of man. And I said it. Anybody got a problem with anything I say? I'll be outside after this salat. I'm serious. Seriously. And you brothers got any problem with anything I'm saying about the way you treat your wife, I will be outside. If you don't like it, then whatever. Because the way we treat our women has a civilizational effect on our whole ummah. It affects the kids. It affects the upbringing. It affects how your son looks at what is a man supposed to be. If he sees that you are abusive to your wife, you talk to her like a dog, you beat on her, choke her, throw her. If he sees that, then you're telling him that this is okay. So now he grows up with a dysfunction. He goes out and abuses somebody else. He gets somebody, oh, yeah, that's what I saw my dad do. Yeah, shut up, blah, blah, blah. Call them out their name and all that kind of stuff. And you just pass down the dysfunction generation after generation after generation. Being good to the wife is part of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But being good don't mean being subordinate either, brothers. Listen, I understand, I get it, that there is a new psychology afoot. I understand. I understand they're teaching kids about the two moms, the two dads in the schools in California. They teach them homosexuality is okay. They're telling you brothers, get in touch with your feelings and all that kind of stuff. And you got to be emotional like the woman. That's why some of you brothers cry like your women. I said it. I'm really upset. I don't care who don't like it either. I don't. A man's supposed to be a man. The family is the first institution that was given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Was the family. If the family's not intact, the ummah can't be intact. You need the family in order to have the jama'ah. And you need the jama'ah in order to form the ummah. If you're going back and forth with stupid family stuff all the time, to you and your wife, both of y'all lying back and forth, you lying to her, she lying to you, you running around the corner with so-and-so, she running, this is madness. And brothers, let me tell you something else. You're married to a sister, You may not see the good in her. You might dog her, but somebody else might see the good in her. If you don't want your woman to leave you, treat her right. Treat her decently. If she makes reasonable demands on you, well, listen, I just want you to, you know, take me to dinner once a month, or I just want you to not curse me out every time you see me. I just want to stop ducking from your blows, brother, because I'm going to leave. If you want her to stay, you say, you know what, honey, I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to do better. And I'm going to make amends. If you can't treat her right, let her go. Because you don't own her. I'm telling you how we used to do it. Brothers mess up on your wife? Fine, okay, fine, but get it right. Because we'll give her a hula and she'll be out of there and she'll be with somebody else. Until you have to come to see a big dude with some muscles next time you're going to see your wife. How about that? You don't own the women. We don't own these women. And they don't own us. They are a trust given to you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your wife and your children are a trust that Allah has entrusted you with that. So you have to be really careful. Your wife has to obey the husband in Islam. So you have to be extra careful how you throw around those commands. Because Allah is like saying, this, I'm going to give you this woman and she has to obey you too. You're like, okay, thanks Allah, let me just be real careful. Let me be forbearing, because you have to obey Allah and He's forbearing with you. He's patient with you. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوٌّ لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ وَإِنْ تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. He says, barely from amongst your spouses and your children are enemies. I mean, they can bring out the worst in you. They can try you. It's a test. You got a wife, it's a test. Husbands are a test. Children, they're a test. Allah says they're a fitna. You're testing with your wife all the time. But Allah says, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا. But if you can overlook and make amends and forgive, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Then verily Allah is forgiving and merciful. That's the first one you seek to forgive is your wife. That's the first one. You don't be forgiving brothers out in the street and everything. Oh, I sigh, and go home. Oh, what? Where my junior? How come in? Yeah, once in a while you might do that. But you're supposed to come back within an hour. Honey, I'm sorry. I just let off some steam. This stuff is really hurting our ummah nationwide. The treatment of Muslim men towards their wives. That is a big issue. That's a secret. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's a big problem. You have abandonment. You have brothers who get married, don't want to spend no money. Don't want to get no job. You don't want to work. Don't want to hold down a job. Don't want to pay bills. You have brothers who seek out women who got money so you don't have to pay bills. Man, I'm telling you. And we can box out here about that. Seriously. I'm serious. And if you don't like it, you just come and say something to me about it. Because that's a punk move. The way some of you brothers treat your wives, man, you need to get the butt whooping, man. Seriously. I come from the old school. We used to take brothers up, man, tie them up, put the duct tape on, put them in the trunk, man. I'm telling you. That's what we used to do to abusive brothers. Snatch them off the street, put duct tape on them, put them in. They be peeing and pooping in the trunk of the car and everything. Wake up, the dude sold his pants and everything. Seriously, because it has a generational effect. But we're Muslims, we try to do things right, we try to do things fair, inshallah ta'ala. But brothers, we have to learn how to treat our wives properly, with respect, with some kind of honor. Do not beat on your wife. Do not cheat on your wife. Do not abuse your wife. Do not fail to teach your wife about her religious obligations with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be the Muslim that come to the masjid and you smile on everybody's face. Assalamualaikum, brother. Assalamualaikum, brother. Assalamualaikum, brother. And your wife doesn't even know nothing about her prayers or tahara. Don't be that guy. Because being good to the wife means that you're concerned about her dunya and akhirah. Not just her worldly affairs, but her afterlife as well. So religion is a part of it. But you have to still use temperance. You have to be patient with the wife. Allah says, perhaps, He says, if you don't like them, if you don't like something about your life, He says, Asa an takarahu shay'an. He says, maybe you don't like something, but Allah will make a lot of good in it. The last thing I want to say, brothers, the treatment of a wife is very closely connected to how you're standing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very closely connected. Very close connected. So, when you're good to your family, and next week we're going to talk about children. But when you're good to your wife, when you're kind to your wife, that don't mean you're no punk for your wife either. That don't mean that you do everything she tells you to do. No, no. They say the wife is always right. No, that's not. Wife ain't always right. Allah is always right. The Prophet is always right. Sometimes the wife is right. Sometimes the husband's right. Sometimes they're both right. Sometimes they're both wrong. And women are emotional. But if you do good to your wife, there's a very likely chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring blessings on you untold. And you will bring out the best in that woman. It may be difficult. Like if you haven't been going home teaching your wife about Islam and you all of a sudden, okay. But eventually it will bring out the best in her. But if you dog your wife, brothers who dog your wife usually be in a bad situation. They be miserable. I ain't seen too many brothers who dog their wife and be all, everything's going great, I'm dogging my wife. Well, it'd be all kind of stuff, all kind. Remember, every brother, all right. What you doing at home, man? But you have to be clear about that. The responsibility of the wives, brothers. Basic goodness to the wife, teaching your wife, honoring your wife, and having a wife. And I'm going to tell you something right now. All you brothers who's sleeping around, I'm telling you, get married, man. Get married. Because that's just... Oh, my gosh. Get married! If she mean enough for you to lay down and sleep with her night after night after night after night, she should mean enough for you to get married to her and be responsible for her like a man. Not like a trick. If you have children, you consider your children in the treatment of your wife. Don't let your children see you be an abusive man. Don't let your son see that. Ain't nothing pretty about that. And most of y'all abusive dudes, y'all ain't got no heart, for real, for real. That's what I found out. Most brothers who abuse their wife habitually, they ain't got no heart for no real man. Because a real man can hit you back. He gonna hit like you hit. He gonna throw punches like you throwing punches. It's a different story then, huh? You can make your wife can hit you. Oh yeah, stop it, stop it, stop. Bam! Dude hit you. You ain't gonna be saying stop it, stop it. It's gonna hurt. So brothers, we have to stand up for justice when it comes to our wives and our children. And when you talk to other brothers, don't sign off on brother's behavior. Don't sign off on that ignorant behavior, man, just because he your boy. Brother, you my boy, but get a job. You my boy, but where you at? Why are you running the streets, man, and you married, brother? Boy. Because that's not what men do. Men don't run the streets. Seriously. If men run the streets, they're trying to do something for their families so they can get back home. That's what men do. Men go home to their wives and to their children. They establish prayer in their home. They teach. They eat with their families. They look for their benefit. Aisha said, "Kan Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi mihnati ahlihi wa idha hadara salatu dhahaba ila al-masjid." He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be in the service of his family, and then if the salat came in, he went to the masjid. And brothers, ain't nothing wrong with cooking for yourself here and there, now and then. Ain't nothing wrong with putting your clothes in the wash machine, drying. Ain't nothing wrong with ironing your thobe every now and then, helping. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Don't try to make your wives into slaves and then be unruly slave owners. Kula Kuli had that was stuck for the lovely Wala Kulu. What he said in Muslimina, Min Kuli Dambi was stuck for the and know who love for them. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Our brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O you believe it, taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadeeda yuslih lakum a'amalakum وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزٌ عَظِيمًا رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ الْأَحْيَاءِ مِنْهُمْ وَالْأَمْوَاتِ وَأَلِفْ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِنَا وَاجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا الْإِيمَانَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ وَنُصَلِّي وَنُبَارِكْ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا وَحَبِيبِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله عظيما يذكركم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. نقيم الصلاة برحمة الله.